And so we're going to pray and get started and jump right into this week. So Father, I just thank you for this time, and I thank you, Lord, for your spirit. I thank you for your word, which is truth. I thank you for your son, who is the embodiment of truth. And I thank you, Lord, for how you, while seasons may change, people may change, cultures may change, nations may change, your word never changes, your truth never changes. The word says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we thank you, Lord, because you are a solid foundation. Your word is a solid foundation that we can stand on, that passes the test of time. That, Lord, even though that we may be like, as the word says, a vapor or a mist that appears for a little while and disappears, that your word and you stand forever. What you have spoken into existence and what you have created stands by your powerful word. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for this class, and we thank you for those, Lord, that have been listening, those not only in person but online. And we just pray that, Lord, it would be a blessing. Because, Lord, you know who needs to hear what is being taught. And so, Father, we just thank you, and we put all these things in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we are about ready to wrap this series up. We have this week, and we'll be wrapping the series up next week. So we have been talking this whole time about relational seeds and talking about those things that have been planted in our lives. And we've talked about them from the standpoints of really truth and lies, positive and negative. So last week we actually were talking about how to strategically overcome negative thoughts by planting positive thoughts. And the one thing about the damage that negative thoughts do is they keep you from reaching your full potential. And those negative thoughts are whether they have been negative thoughts that have been planted in our lives as we have grown up or even adults, and also lies that have been planted about who God is. Because we've talked about the need for knowing who God is and who you have been created to be.
So just to clarify, when we talk about positive thoughts, we're not just talking about positive thinking. We're talking about godly thoughts, you know, thoughts that speak to your identity based on what the Word of God says, not just thoughts that, you know, we can easily make up because that's the thing to do.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there is a gentleman that if I told you who he was, you'd recognize him instantly. And he literally makes millions of dollars a year around the world by telling people to think positive thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because he was in San Francisco probably maybe about a month ago. And so I saw some of his Facebook ads, and what I found interesting about it is the same, what he's really doing is biblical, but he's not using the Bible. Mm-hmm. So he's using things in terms of being a person of mercy and positive outlook and all these things. And so it's interesting. So I went to his website, and so it's a 3-day event. $15,000.
So anyone in here that would like to contribute to the Ministry of Relational Care,
I would gladly accept your $15,000.
No, not I. We.
No,
we
I. Will, I.
No, we. Just saying. Sure. But it is true, though, that many of those people that teach positive thinking or that are involved in the in that circuit, if you will, in the secular marketplace, or at least those that were, a lot of them were believers. There's one guy that Pastor Ray actually had turned me on to. I can't think of his name. First name is Jim, but I can't think of his last name right now. And he ended up being a key leader in the Herbalife organization, which is a billion-dollar organization. But he was a believer, and everything that he spoke about and how he motivated people was really from the Word of God, because he wasn't shy about it. He didn't do it like undercover. And he didn't stand up there and talk to you only about Jesus coming, Jesus living his life for us, you know, us being forgiven. He didn't come from that perspective, but he came from a perspective of being able to identify, being able to recognize your identity in Christ. The same with Zig Ziglar, who was a great motivational speaker. I mean, companies paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to have him come and speak to their sales forces, and you know, he would go out on circuit. But at the end of the day, there were two things that Zig Ziglar loved. Number one was Jesus, and number two was his redheaded wife. You could not sit through a Zig Ziglar talk without hearing about Jesus Christ or his wife. And he was very well grounded as a believer. And if I remember correctly, he came from nothing. He came from absolutely nothing. Napoleon, why did I lose his last name? Kaufman, I believe. Napoleon Hill. Thank you, Hill. Is Napoleon Kaufman is also a pastor and a believer. Yeah, although he did play for the Raiders, I feel bad for him. But anyway, I always go there when it comes to football. I
That's a
always
wrong
go there,
statement, man.
but I do love Pastor Napoleon Kaufman. Pastor Napoleon Kaufman leads a church that is on fire. I mean, no holds barred, sold out for Jesus Christ, and apparently he used to do that in the locker room as well. But Napoleon Hill also, his background is also in Christianity. How to meet people. What's the name of the book? I can't even remember.
Think it grow rich.
Think and Grow Rich. Exactly. Just he wrote several books, and again, that perspective is really grounded in an understanding. It was grounded in an understanding of who God is and who God says we are.
So the reason we even went down that little rabbit trail there was to say that truth, right? As Pastor was teaching today, and Pastor really just, we were just like, oh, we don't even have to teach relational care because Pastor's really already taught it. He did that to me again. But truth stands. Truth does not change. And so this whole series that we've really been talking about is we've really been talking about that the seeds that are planted, we want those seeds that we plant and are planted in us and implanted in our hearts, we want those seeds to be truthful. We want them to be true. And the issue has always been that as we live our lives, these lies that have been implanted about who we are or who we can't be or who God is or who he isn't that have been planted. What happens when those lies are planted and we believe those lies is it makes us ineffective in our walk for Christ. Because if we are not carriers of truth, if truth has not been implanted in us, if we cannot then turn around and speak truth, we're not being effective. So this particular session is called Planting with Purpose. Planting with Purpose. And the reason why it's called planting for purpose is because God has a purpose to everything. Okay? There are no coincidences with God. So when we look at this whole series, we have to ask ourselves, okay, what's the point to all of this? Why should we be concerned about what I believe about God and myself? The issue is if I'm going to be a person that understands that I have a purpose and I have been strategically planted, whether it's in my marriage, relationships with my children, with my family, whether it's my workplace, whether it's my neighborhood, I need to understand that truth matters. And like Pastor said, in a world where truth is now subjective, right, we cannot afford to be carriers of subjective truth. We have to know the truth, okay? Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, he said to the Jews that had believed in him, he said, if you hold to my teachings, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The issue is we always like to quote 32, but we don't want to quote 31. Because Jesus starts out by that, and he says, if you hold to my teachings. See, just because you claim Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you're a disciple. Now, we like to think that, but that's not the way it is. Because Jesus says again, if you hold to my teaching. So the first thing that I have to do, because Jesus says, okay, if you know the truth, it'll set you free, is the first thing that I need to do is I need to go on that journey of being someone that is going to follow his teachings. Mm-hmm. And that's in every area of my life. Mm-hmm. That's whether I'm a husband, father, employee, employer, neighbor, friend, son, father. I have to know in Jesus's word and his commandings, how am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to act? Because we talked a few weeks back that many of us live our Christianity on a conditional basis. So if so-and-so is going to, if you treat me right, if you do what I think you ought to do, mm-hmm. if you love me the way that you, I need you to love me. If I do these things, then you somehow or another, then that opens the door for me to be who Jesus has called me to be. That's the total opposite of what Jesus is saying. Because if I'm a disciple, I'm going to follow what God has called me to, regardless of whether you accept it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you reject me or not. We don't get to make those choices as disciples. And that's the basis for us being able to understand truth and to be able to implant truth. Because when I go out there and when I'm Leona's husband, I have to be Leona's husband based on my being a disciple of Jesus Christ.
You can't be Leona's husband only when Leona's around. I mean, you know, because you could go clubbing and you could meet some other people when I travel, because I'm traveling next weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do that. And you don't have to be Leona's mm-hmm. husband, because I wouldn't even be there. I wouldn't right. know.
Yeah, she wouldn't know. Right? But this isn't about Leona. This is about me being a disciple of Christ. And so from his word, what is he saying to me? Who am I supposed to be, and how am I supposed to treat Leona, whether she's there or not? Because like she says, I'm Leona's husband, whether she's there or not. So Saturday night, when I'm at home at 11 o'clock at night and the TV's on, my wife's not there, I still have to be Leona's husband. And I don't answer to Leona for that. I answer to the Lord for that.
Does that mean around the water cooler too?
You had to go there.
Wow.
I mean, do you know.
Yes.
Well, all spaces aren't technically sacred, are they?
Well, I mean, come on. You got to have space to share and rag on, you know, what your spouse is doing, right?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna bring the answer to that a little bit down the road.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're going to bring the answer to that a little bit down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Gene is right. The short answer is no.
So when we talk about planting with a when we talk about planting with a purpose, I have to realize that I am here for a much greater purpose than what I may have thought. Because contrary to popular demand, we're not here to build our 401ks or all those other things. And I'm not saying any of that stuff is bad. But when I start looking at my life and I ask that question, okay, Why has God brought me to earth at this time, at this season? Why am I here? Right? That stuff is just to make sure that I'm in a position to do what it is that he's called me to do. Because understanding God is that he has a plan and a purpose for everything. So we're not just here marking time. We're just not here kind of like floating around doing whatever. That's not why we're here. We have a plan and a purpose, and we can't be wasting time. We cannot be wasting time. So we have a general plan and purpose, which we talked about in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 39. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself, right? But you also have a specific plan for why you are here. Mm-hmm. So the number one that I just talked about, we should be doing that anyway. We should be doing that anyway. I loved Jesus's resolve because he said, I got to be about my Father's business. So what was he saying? I don't have time for that. I don't have time for the peripheral stuff. I don't have time to get caught up in all this other stuff. I don't have time to get caught up in the things of the day, whatever that's going on. I've got a specific plan and purpose, and there's a specific planting that God wants to do in every area of my life, but that I'm to be used in every area that he has put me into. You have to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. And you think about it, lies will keep you from being effective. So what lies are we believing? What lies are we believing about God? What lies are we believing about ourselves? What lies are we believing about our marriages? What lies are we believing about our family? What lies are we believing? Because as long as we believe those lies, we're not in a position to be effective. We're not in a position to really begin to focus on, okay, why am I here? And where am I supposed to start planting? Because you're supposed to be planting everywhere, all the time. You're supposed to be looking for opportunities all the time. But if I'm too wrapped up in myself, too wrapped up in what's going on, too self-centered focus, too focused on different things, I'm not putting myself in a position to really fulfill the plans and the purposes of God. Because when you stand before God, you got to answer for that. However long he gives you. And you can go, well, you know, we had a really great house and we had a vacation house and should see my 401k, it was stacked. And, you know, I had all this. Okay, well, that's all fine and good. What did you do for God? What did you do in the plans and purposes that he had for your life? What did you do with that? Gene?
I want to point out that that vacation house could have been a place for respite for other people. Mm-hmm. That place could have been a place where you develop family. It's not a place where you just go and chill on the weekends and say, hey, I've got a house in Aspen. You know, I mean, so there's, I just want to reaffirm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a way to do
it. It's real easy to say, okay, well, and get a poverty mindset.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's definitely, yeah, it's not a, yeah, it's definitely not a.
It's when you say, what are you doing with that legitimately? What are you doing? Who are you sharing it with?
Yeah, and you keep reading my stuff if I get there.
I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
Well, between John and Gene.
Yeah, I mean, class over.
I'll shut up.
No, don't shut up.
No.
Don't shut up. It's
because Gene's
good.
Exactly right, mm-hmm. And that's my next point.
Yeah, why not?
Right? It's the motivation mm-hmm. of your heart mm-hmm. when you're doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because Gene is exactly right. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of wealthy people, okay, all over the world. What makes one different than the other? You think of the owner of Chick-fil-A, okay? Very wealthy, right? But I guarantee you, because he's a man of faith, that he is strategically planting and using his wealth and using his influences for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So like Gene said, he could stand there and say, well, You know, this is all the things that I've done. You've given me great wealth, and look at all the stuff that I've done with it, right? Another person can be standing before the Lord and have the same wealth, the same value, and he could say, just as we said, well, I got houses all over the world. And God was like, well, what did you do with that? What do you mean I do it? I lived in them. Wrong answer.
Well,
right? But again, it's the motivation. And so what I'm saying is, if I'm trying to be the best husband that I could be for Leona because I feel like that's just a good thing to do, it'll keep me out of the doghouse, right? Okay, well, that's all fine and good. But there's a bigger difference than when I realize that I'm a disciple and that what God has called me to do is to love her as Christ loved the church. And I set my focus on that, knowing that that's one of the purposes, out of all the purposes that God has brought me to earth, that's one of my purposes to fulfill, right? That takes on a whole nother context, just as Gene was sharing in terms of the vacation house. It takes a whole nother context on, because now what I'm doing is I'm purposely planting. I'm strategically planting. I'm strategically and purposefully loving my wife because I know that God wants to do something in her and God wants to bring her to a place where I have a role to play in that. And I have a role to play in that by loving her the way that God wants me to love her. That's a whole nother issue because now when I go and stand before the Lord, it's not just, well, you know, kept me out of the doghouse.
Happy wife, happy life.
So, you know, it kind of gave me warm and fuzzy feelings to like be that kind of husband. Right? That's a whole lot different than saying, God, as your disciple, I understood from your word, I understood from your spirit what it was you were asking me to do as Leona's husband. And so I set my face to do and to be who you called me to be in her life, right? That's a whole nother thing. And God goes, okay. Yeah, because that was one of the purposes that I brought you for. And well done, good and faithful servant, because you carried out that.
So for anybody who's listening out of context, for the whole series that we've been doing, or who doesn't know the point of our class and what we do here. You could be asking, or you could be at a place of pain right now and you've forgotten. And you could be asking yourself, how do I do that? How do I love intentionally, strategically? How do I plant in other lives when no one's planted in me? Because we use an allusion to a cup. Regularly in relational care. My cup is empty. How in the world am I going to be the wife that I think I'm supposed to be? There's a fundamental thing that we all need, and that is to attach. And as infants, it's obviously, very obvious that as an infant, you can't ask for what you need. You can't ask for what you want. You cry, maybe, and you may have different cries. They say babies have different cries. And mothers can tell, usually. But what if you didn't have that? What if it wasn't like, you know, you would have wanted it to be, or like maybe your peers had it? You know, or like Pastor even brought out today, you know, a lot of unfortunate male prison population with serious crimes is really the commonality is that they absolutely detested their fathers or detest their fathers. There are many of us who are in those places of brokenness, but who are doing our level best to live the Christ life, to live a life with purpose. But I know for a fact that even if we didn't have what it would have been ideal for us to have, God can still fill our own cup so that we can pour out of that cup onto others. And what that calls for is for us to get the healing that we need, to first of all confess the truth. The truth is, I am broken in many places and I need healing. And for many of us, we need support in attaching to the God of our salvation. Because if we can attach to Jesus, and I can look in here and I can go, Matthew 22 is calling me to love God and to love my husband as myself, but I can't stand him most of the time. I don't even like him. But God is calling me to love him. There has to be a supernatural exchange that I allow to happen in me in order for me to begin to take the steps of what it is like to be a blessing to him based on what God is saying. There has to be a place in me that recognizes that in my brokenness, I don't have what maybe would be great to have, but that I believe in a God who is able to fill me supernaturally with what I need and to put me in a community where I can maybe learn. Because let's face it, God designed us not only to learn supernaturally, but also to learn naturally by example. Because there's a part of our, and this is all neuroscience. This is all, everything I'm talking about is also backed up by neuroscience. There's a part of our minds that is trying to figure out, well, how do I do that? I don't even know what that looks like. So maybe I even borrow, because I see Ron and Jean do it all the time, I start initiating some handholding. It feels really weird because it's not something that I saw done in my family or doesn't come natural to me, but the Lord may be speaking to me through the example of what I'm seeing in another relationship. And convict me. And when I say convict, I'm using that word biblically. Conviction is not always bad. Conviction is God saying, are you paying attention? And the Lord's like, pay attention to that. You could try that. So when we're talking about this, I want you guys to recognize that we're not saying that, you know, you each are all that in a bowl of chips, and so you can now begin to share your nachos and chips and tortillas and everything else with everybody else. We recognize that there are places of brokenness in each and every single one of us that we're trying to grow through. Ron, you had something.
When you said allowing God to supernaturally fill us, mm-hmm. and then using that and mm-hmm. allowing that to flow back out. What I found is that God is willing to supernaturally fill us at any time we ask. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we sometimes are resistant to allowing it to flow out mm-hmm. for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm. And the comment that I was going to make earlier is that too often we look at our deficits mm-hmm. and use that as an excuse.
Exactly.
So we live in a house that has broken cupboards and stained carpet, so mm-hmm. we can't invite anyone over.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mm-hmm. have the ability to emotionally share the way that my spouse wants me
mm-hmm.
to share.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to get over our pride
mm-hmm.
and give in our deficits
mm-hmm.
is
what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Joe and I once learned long ago that the I don't know what the opposite is, making the word ego an acrostic and instead, you know, giving it meaning. So E stands for egging, G is God, O is out, egging God out. And too often I live in that place of ego and pride where I can't do something or I won't do something because, you know, he needs to do it first. You know, I've been asking him to for, he needs to do it first. And the Lord is like, okay, get over yourself and just go do it anyway. And it might be that in my doing it anyway, that the Lord actually convicts him of whatever that is that I've been asking him for. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I get to the point where it's like it's no big thing. And it becomes an offering from my heart, a seed that I begin sowing into his life by giving to him from a place that he needs.
So it is continuing to go on this journey of truth. Because from a place of truth, as Gene was saying, we can serve with whatever we have. You know, we tend to have this idea of, you know, we got to be all together. Our house got to be all together. This has to be all together. God is looking for just a willingness to step out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. He'll take all the mess and all the brokenness and all that stuff, and he'll still use it.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll still use it.
He knows how to make
right?
it all things
He's
beautiful.
A God that knows how to use that. So let's talk about, because we're going to wrap up in the next 15 minutes or so. So let's talk about what planting with a purpose looks like. So Ephesians 4:11 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. 12 says, to equip his people for works of service that the body of Christ may be built up. So Christ has placed the church and these people in the church to help all of us be prepared to do any works of service that need to be done, not just in the church, but also in the places that God has planted us in. So my question to you is, give me some ideas, give me some feedback in terms of what does works of service look like? What do you think that works of service look like?
Cleaning someone's toilet.
Cleaning someone's toilet?
Signing up for turkey trap.
Okay. Helping a neighbor move.
Okay. That's a serious worker service.
Cooking dinner without a washer.
Taking up someone's garbage can.
Okay.
Calling somebody up when you see that they're sick.
Okay.
Calling somebody up when you're getting a popping dog.
Okay.
That's good.
Any more?
I don't know if this falls in line, but I was thinking about this word a day that I stepped out last week, and it says, when the light of the truth about Jesus illuminates us, it is our duty to shine that light to help others. Our witness for Christ should not be public, not hidden. We should not use it for ourselves alone, but for others. In order to be helpful, we need to be well-placed, seek opportunities to be there when unbelievers need help.
So even helping what she said.
So
helping
any more?
Unbelievers.
Give us some more. Some works of service.
I think when we think of the word service, it's always doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think a work of service could just be, you know, that soft place for somebody that's in the corner. Somebody to be able to go to and say, man, I'm hurt.
It's good.
My stepfather just lost his dad. And it hasn't been really hitting me until today. I came over to my parents' house just to be with them in their time of mourning. Because, you know, my mom was trying to figure out, like, you know, what they had to do. And they're actually on their way to Texas now to handle his affairs.
Okay.
They were 600 miles out. They had stayed in, like, New Mexico or something. And the last time I talked to her, she texted me this morning, but just being with them in their time of mourning, I mean, I was okay then, but now it's just kind of hitting me that we won't be able to call him at Christmas, and it's to feel what my stepfather must be going through is.
Yeah. So to weep with those who weep, right?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
God bless you.
That is a work of service.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Well, that's hard.
So, work of service, as we see, is varied, as varied as you could possibly think, right? It can be giving an encouraging word to somebody at work. It could be just as simple as putting my hand on somebody that I know needs a touch. Right? All these are works of service. And so the idea, though, is when we begin to understand that we are here for a purpose, we're here for a reason, according to also what we just read in Ephesians 4, right? That we have been strategically placed in places to continually and consistently do acts of service. So I love what Gene said about the turkey trot, but sometimes what happens is we get into that mode, right? So we do stuff like turkey trot, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But what we miss is we miss the young woman that's sitting on the sidewalk when you just came out of McDonald's but doesn't have anything to eat. Sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we miss the young man that we could call up and say, you know what, I just want you to know that even though you're going through a tough time, I believe in you and God has some great things for you. Sometimes we miss that, right? All those are works of service. And so what we have to begin to do is understand, number one, we have a purpose. Anywhere, anytime, to do those works of service. Second of all, we have to be in a mindset to be looking for those works of service. Because I guarantee you, they're all around you every day. They're all around you every day. But if we don't live with intentionality, if we don't live with intentionality, then we miss them. And we do really great stuff like turkey trot, but we miss the young woman sitting on the sidewalk at McDonald's. Jean?
I think it's really important to, when we're looking for acts of service, to not just go for what's good, but for what is God's best. Mm-hmm. There's too many times in my life, and I've heard another, well, the Lord has called me to be my family, to the exclusion of the church. God has called me to church activities, to the exclusion of my family. And a lot of times it's not one or the other. It's and both, exactly. Not to the point where you're also neglecting the service and the care for yourself, which is just as valid. And there's not a clear cut when we're talking about acts of service. It's a daily, Lord, what do you have for me at this moment?
Right.
Exactly.
What do you have for me at this moment to do? You know, person felt horrible because, you know, she took me away from something, second service. And it's like, no. Yeah, I have things that I can do. But this moment is this moment. And the more that I get into that lifestyle of living in what the moment is, rather than I have to do this because this is my act of service for this. That I think is what God wants us to get to.
Exactly.
Not the, you know, well, I'm going to hand out something to every homeless person. Or I have to evangelize and talk to every single person at church about, or at work, excuse me, about. It's in that moment what the Lord have you to do, wherever that moment is.
I'm going to say something and then call on Ellen. Thank you, Gene, for calling that out. It reminds me of what Pastor said, too, where he talked about speaking to his children and telling them that you will preach the gospel. I don't care if you're a plumber. I don't care if you're whatever, a doctor, a lawyer, you will preach the gospel. And it's the same with us. Basically, what I heard, I changed it in my head. It read as, don't get it twisted. Whatsoever you do, do as unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay? So Renee works. She has a job. She works in a secular environment. But I can bet you that whenever she gets the chance to pull a student and to give them comfort or encouragement or a word, it's not on her job description, she does it. Now, she hasn't told me, she hasn't given me any examples.
Actually, it is on her job description.
Well, it is on her job description from the Lord, but it's not on her employer. Her employer has a particular lane they want her to walk in. But because she's employed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because she's actually not even employed, she's royalty in his court. She's an ambassador of the kingdom. She has to do what the state of heaven calls her to do. She has to operate in that lane. So even if her boss is telling her, you got to get XYZ and so done by such and such a time, and she sees somebody who's in need, she has to operate and follow the requirements of the one who sent her first. So I just want to call that out. Let's not get it twisted because you work wherever you work, you can't worship the Lord. No, mm-mm. Lane. And then
I agree with that.
You got three people.
I have employees that I was discussing some things with her as far as professionally, but I know she's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes separating those two, you mm-hmm. know, and saying, you know what, I'm not talking to you, Lane, as the supervisor anymore. It's just, you know, I'm not really shipping. But what I was going to say earlier, I like a phrase that I got from Susie Orman, and it was saying, no one helping is hurting, and hurting is helping.
Mm.
So sometimes when we're serving,
mm-hmm.
we have to make sure we align with what God wants us
mm-hmm.
to do.
Yes.
Is this something that He called me for me to do?
Exactly.
Yes.
Just because it's ministry work at church doesn't mean I'm supposed to do it.
Right.
You know, it could be somebody else is doing it. And
exactly.
I know my sister a couple of weeks ago was making me feel guilty about helping my brother with something, and she was throwing the Bible in there. Like, you would help the homeless person. You would do this and that. But it's like, but that's not what God called for me to do for him. Because what she was asking me to do, I saw it more as hurting him
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily helping him.
Mm-hmm.
And we were differing on that, and she saw it a different way. So that was just my point, is that we have to make sure we're seeking God
mm-hmm.
as well.
Exactly.
And being led by God.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes.
And sometimes it seems kind of funny to around this time of year, I see my seasonal service.
Yes.
Like Thanksgiving.
Seasonal
and
service.
So now we want to do warm coats and stuff. And I'm like, there's a need all year long.
Exactly.
Now that it's Christmas and Thanksgiving season, everybody wants to be more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a season of giving and all this. Yeah, exactly.
It's true, because I remember the homeless, we were giving out for Thanksgiving. We were feeding the homeless, and the lady was saying, oh, everybody's bringing all this food. It's like, for one day, we got all this food.
Mm-hmm.
And they had too much food on that one day,
mm-hmm.
you know, but no one was bringing it the day before, the days before, or the days after.
Well, that's where we have to be careful in drawing into the world's idea of what Christmas is and what God's idea of Christmas is, right? Because if we draw in the world's, right, we're going to be doing that. We're going to be this, oh, yeah, season of giving. And as soon as, you know, December 26 hits,
mm-hmm.
well, season of giving is over. We see you next year.
The long line of goodwill to
Alec.
Get the last tax deduction.
Yeah.
Good. Alec, and then Ron.
We'll see you next year.
just kind of building on the previous point, the whole having that integrated faith into whatever we're doing when we're working, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's this whole it's about relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's about having that right relationship, and in that, doing what we are called to do. Like I know I feel called to preach, mm-hmm. and feel called to teach, but I also feel called to do hairstyling and to build
mm-hmm.
a ministry around that. And whether that is building something that is specifically called ministry,
mm-hmm.
or whether that is building something that is a salon that I minister
mm-hmm.
at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
is what it's going to be, but I'm not the one who dictates that.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be the one who dictates that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to let God show us. We
mm-hmm.
have to let God, we have to continually ask God to
yeah.
to show us, okay, where do we go? Because I know, I mean, Gene teaches,
mm-hmm.
and I know it's at a public high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she can't be out there spewing Bible verses,
mm-hmm.
but she can be up there giving biblical principles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure she does,
mm-hmm.
because that's just who she is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of
mm-hmm.
who she
yeah.
is.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this myself from this standpoint. We're ministers of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
but we're ministers 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are sometimes there's stuff that I need to do. I don't have to ask God.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait on God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In the moment. Now, maybe that's the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and probably is. But in the moment, I'm on ministry 24/7.
Yeah.
I'm on ministry 24/7. So where you are, from the moment your foot hits that door
mm-hmm.
to the moment it walks out,
mm-hmm.
you're a minister. And as Gene has said, in the moment, you could be here and somebody may need a word, and it doesn't have to do anything with the Bible. But you give that word, and I'm going to talk about this in a second. Soon, somebody else have their hand up? I'm going to talk about this in a second, but there's the spiritual aspect that we need to realize.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to close with this. So three benefits that happen when we understand our purpose and when we understand the power of what we're bringing. Number one, we bring the kingdom. In any situation or circumstance that we are in, we can choose to bring God's principles, his comfort, his compassion to any relationship at any time. We bring the kingdom. We are kingdom carriers, okay? All the time, 24/7, right? Which is what we need to begin to understand. It's not just on Sunday or when we do this. When we go into any situation or circumstance, we are bringing the kingdom with us. So as we begin to understand that, we begin to pray, and Gene says we begin to get in this relationship with God, that we understand that. And so we almost have this mindset of, we're looking, right? We're looking, we're listening, we're looking, right? Because when God brings that, we want to recognize it. And we recognize it, we want to act on it. The second thing is we bring the Holy Spirit. In the same way we bring the kingdom, we can bring the Holy Spirit. As we choose to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, we can inject those into any situation or circumstance or relationship we find ourselves in. It's interesting. I've been in meetings. I've been in contentious meetings. And the Lord has given me a word out of scripture, but it's not scriptural. And the whole atmosphere
changes.
It is
scriptural.
It's scriptural, right.
Yeah.
But
not
scripture.
Quote, unquote,
right.
Scripture.
And so, but we have that ability, right? We have that ability to do that in all our relationships. In our relationships with our spouse, with our children, with our family, right? If we have the mindset, right? If we have the mindset and we understand the purposes that what we've been brought to earth for. The third one is we model God's relational values. Values are not the things that are taught or modeled in the world today. So as we model integrity, mercy, compassion, grace, we literally are planting God's relational seeds in those around us, right? Living with intentionality, every day, every moment, living with intentionality. If we understand that, if we get that concept, things will change, our views will change, right? And we'll be able to be those conduits. We'll be able to fulfill that purpose that God has called us to be, to fulfill. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, because since the foundation of the world, you had a plan and you had a purpose. We thank you because as Jesus came to earth, he had a plan. He had a purpose. He said, I must be about my Father's business. And Lord, we are not mistakes. We are not beings of random selection, but we have been brought to earth in this time, in this season, for a plan and a purpose. Father, reveal those things to us. Reveal, Lord, how you would use us in every situation and circumstance, because Lord, we are not planted anywhere by mistake. We are not ending somewhere by mistake. And so, Father, change our hearts, change our minds, change our perspective to know that we are here for a purpose. And then, Father, to open our eyes and open our hearts to be able to see those works of service that need to be done. And Father, tune our ear to the Holy Spirit, that in the moment when there's a word that needs to be said, there's a touch that needs to be given, there's truth that needs to be spoken, there may be even some hard truths that be made to that need to be spoken, Lord, for the good of that person. Lord, that we would have the courage, Father, we would have the tenacity, we would have the humility, we would have the grace, and we would have the mercy to be the people that you have called us to be. Father, let this be evident in our lives. Let this be evident in our marriages, in our relationships with our children and our family, in our relationships at work, our relationships, Father, in our neighborhood, wherever you have chosen to plant us in this season and this time. Let us be the people that you have called us to be, in season and out of season, day in, day out. Because, Father, we represent you, we represent your Spirit, and what we want is we want your Spirit, your Word, your compassion, your grace, your mercy, your truth to go forward. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Real quick, Thanksgiving, Sunday after Thanksgiving.